Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. We're live at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp. Looks like practice wrapping up. They're all meeting midfield now. Tyler Boyd scheduled to join us in a few minutes. Paul Kowarski tweeting out, one practice, one, and I missed some of it. But you watch that and think, Titans are a defensive football team again. Offense has a way to go. And look, I think anybody that, you know, anybody that evaluates practice right now, today, and says something about it should go.
Right.
I understand it's the first day with pads. They're still very early in the process. But from what I saw, it looked a little more even. But, yeah, I mean, I think there were some misplays on both sides of the ball. That's what you kind of expect this time of year.
It's the first day in pads.
Right.
And what I look for in the first day of pads, are you lining up correctly? Is the ball being delivered on time? Are you running the right routes? Are you getting your step and your technique? I mean, it's just day one. Things these guys, it's kind of muscle memory because they've gone through it for so many years. But to evaluate their season after one practice, no, get out of here, man.
So here's what we know. Arden Key is expected to be suspended for 6 games for violating PED policy, failing a drug test. That was first reported by Paul Kowarski, paulkowarski.com. The league has not made that official yet. So at a position that they were already very, very thin at, they brought in Shane Ray last week. They need some help at edge rusher. Carl Austin is available. He would be number one on my list.
I don't know much about him, but they need some help. I mean, it's obvious right now to get through. I remember we talk about it all the time, a lot. The most important game is that first game against the Bears. You got to get after Caleb Williams. You got to get after him. And part of that is having a heck of a pass rush. And right now, they just don't have one. You got time.
They do not. But they need help. Man, I mean, Rashad Weaver, Shane Ray. I mean, if those are your answers, then I'd be nervous.
Yeah, absolutely nervous. Shane Ray's interesting because number one draft choice, won a Super Bowl ring with the Broncos and just kind of fell out of favor after that. So is there something left in him for a couple of years to do this? I don't know, but we'll find out and see how it goes.
We will indeed. Some of the players coming over to greet the fans, including J.C. Latham, one of them, coming over to sign some autographs and talk with the fans. Mason Rudolph walking over here as well. So I would expect Tyler Boyd going to join us momentarily. So looking forward to our conversation with the Titans wide receiver. I'm excited to see him in action.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, you think about his career. When we went to the Bengals in 16, they were okay, right? And then so 17 and 18 and 19, they weren't very good. And then Joe Burrow comes and the whole team franchise is turned around. And to see that and see if they can kind of recapture that magic that Callahan had up in Cincinnati as an assistant coach with some of the players here too as well, because he's been at the high, been to the Super Bowl, and of course he's been on a team that's not very good. So we'll see what he is and has his role here, because you got can't cover everybody, Chaser. You can't cover everyone.
No, you can't. But I mean, that's what I like about what they've done and having those kind of weapons, where you have DeAndre Hopkins, you have Calvin Ridley, hopefully Treylon Burks is somebody that factors into this. Tyler Boyd, hopefully Chigakonkwo is somebody that factors into this. So you gotta hope that all these weapons pan out as one of them sits down with us. Tyler, how you doing? Get your headset on here and get you ready to go. Looking forward to it, to having Tyler Boyd. Is a little hot out there. Tyler Boyd, Titans wide receiver, joins us now. We were just talking about this receiver group that you are now a part of, and just the how many weapons Will Levis has now with all you guys, including you. I know you have to be excited to play with these guys.
Yeah, I think we got so much dimension to what we're doing. You know, I think this is offense kind of brings out every guy's best. You know, like Hop, the things he do, I think his best trait is his hands. He catch everything, got strong hands, and really speed, able to run past people, and just me just knowing where to be in the slot, you know, find an open void, and just having good feel, having that football knowledge and knowing when to stop and when to keep going, you know. So I think just each guy's trait is what's going to make this offense go.
This group's obviously different than what you had in Cincinnati and, you know, with Brian. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins is T. Higgins. But you mentioned Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins. Do you feel like that with this offense and with Will that you guys can have something similar, like with how the offense works, to what you had in Cincinnati? You all, like you just said, having your different roles?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think the most important thing with getting this offense to go is just the chemistry, you know, just getting the reps. You know, it kind of was the same thing in Cincinnati. We all knew we had great playmakers and great guys that can do different things better than others, you know, but it just took time for the timing to be right with the quarterback and just guys being where they need to be and guys sacrificing themselves to allow other guys to get open. You know, I think all of that plays a part. And just because you have great players and great receivers and running back, it doesn't mean you're going to be great. You know, you got to find some type cultural relationship within guys before you get out there and kind of just cut it loose.
Beautiful. Tyler Boyd joins us here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Would you be here if Brian Callahan was not the head coach?
That's a great question. It still would have been on my top runner, you know, because Titans was one of the first teams to even contact us, you know, after free agency hit. And I just like Rand. You know, Rand's one of the coolest dudes that I've ever met, you know what I'm saying? And that's what kind of stuck out before Cali had came up. But I knew Cali was coming in for the head coaching job. But just coming in to meet Rand, you know, he was just a guy that's very relative. And you can kind of understand a guy like him. He's just super cool and positive, and he's just authentic, you know. And that's what you want in an organization like this.
Was Callahan Brian when he talked to you when you came in for a visit? Could you tell his energy, exuberance of like, we got something here and we want you to be a part of it?
Absolutely, you know, because I kind of went through the whole cultural thing with Cincinnati, you know, trying to find missing pieces, trying to figure out who we are, trying to figure out our identity, because we wasn't always the greatest when we was in Cincy, you know. So we start kind of to build and thrive and get key pieces, and it's just all about the reps, man, the reps and just comfortability and just getting guys to lock in with what we're trying to do, you know. In Cincy, you know, guys wasn't really complaining about the ball. You know, we just went to go play ball, and whenever the plays came, then guys made plays and stepped up. So as long as guys isn't selfish and guys want to go out there and do it for each other, then we're going to go far.
Titans wide receiver Tyler Boyd is with us. In Cincinnati, and we've talked about this a lot with Brian taking over, Brian's going to call the plays. Zach called the plays in Cincinnati. How involved was Brian, though? You know, and I know you're not hearing it come in. That's coming from Joe. But how involved was Brian in you know, kind of deciding things on the sidelines, you guys talking about it, and how do you see that going here with him actually calling the plays as head coach?
Yeah, I think just the great thing about it is Kylie been in his offense. He knows his offense very well. You know, he'd been with Zach Taylor a while. You know, and every game he'd go upstairs. You know, usually the O coordinator usually isn't on the sideline. They're upstairs trying to figure out what we should dial up. And he always, I'm pretty sure that he was always given the best option of play to Zach, you know, and you've seen once Joe went down, we our offense continued to move.
Yeah.
You know, with Jake, and he's a real great quarterback as well, you know. But I think it's just the, like I said, man, just being comfortable and knowing the system, knowing the offense. Once you understand what the defense is trying to do, like, you know, specifically per play to defeat the specific coverage that the defense is trying to play. So I think just Cali is just so locked in and just knowing the offense so well, he just knows it. We just got to get Nick the OC in the same way as he was when he was in Cincy. You know, this is kind of his first field of offense. So, you know, in the next couple of year or so, he'll be able to give him suggestions like, listen, Kyle, you might not be able to see it. I'm telling you, we need to do this or not. And then he's going to thrive from there.
How much are you having to play teacher a little bit? Since you know this and you've worked with Cali before and you kind of know how he operates, are guys coming to you kind of asking for advice, even though you're trying to get your work in as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I know what I got to do, you know, and I know the small little detailed things that coach expects when you run a play, you know. So guys come to me, but I'm a lot hands-on. So when I see certain plays and I know where the ball should go and I'm seeing guys run specific routes, and, you know, I go to them after and let them know, like, look, bro, you ain't had to run that far. You could have stopped, you know, found a void, or, you know, just give them some type of criticism or just a specific minor detail point that they might have forgot while we was in meetings, you know, because all that stuff matters in this offense, you know, because it's very simplified. It's very defined in this offense. So if you get the small things right, you'll excel.
That's excellent. Do you know how many Bengal quarterbacks you took a pass from? There's a lot, man. I mean, Andy Dalton, Jeff Driscoll, Burrow.
About five, yeah. Andy, Jeff, Joe, Jake. A.J. McCarron.
A.J. McCarron. Yeah, that's right.
It was on one and, more, too, but.
On and on. So whoever's back there, you still got to do your job, right?
At the end of the day.
You got to go out there and get your job done. Will, have you got a camaraderie with Will yet? I mean, how was? Did you go on the trip with him?
No, I didn't get to go.
Oh man.
Yeah, I wanted to. I just had so much going on, moving okay. thing. Had to move out of Cincy, come here, find a place. It was just a lot going on. I had to spend time with my daughter. But I think we're starting to pick up on a little bit of chemistry. It's not quite there yet, you know, because it's what first day of pads. We're still trying to develop. Even with every guy, you know, we're still trying to work certain throws and certain plays and what he expect in that play, you know, just timing overall. You know, I just want to make sure he's locked in with the timing, you know, with certain plays. Once the timing click, then I can start picking his brain and letting him know, like, okay, on this play, don't expect me to go here. If it's this coverage, I'm going to start doing this, you know, so I'm going to start defining it, making it easier for him. You know, because that's my job, and I just got a great feel of how to just be an open target, you know, and not running to get cover, just being out there.
I love that. You have the comparisons, obviously, to Larry Fitzgerald, Pittsburgh Pitt guy. Do you know him?
Yes.
And has he offered you advice, kind of a mentor?
Yes. So kind of when we was first come out of college, you know, he come back here and there for the golf outings. I don't really see him as much. But when we first came out of college, me and James Conner, we would go to dinner with him and his agent and things like that. And he would just give us advice on just how to be a pro, you know. He knew we were good enough to be in the league, but just how to define being a steady pro, you know, just coming in the same day, staying consistent, you know, not even though you might not feel like practicing, you might have to fake it, you know. You got to pick up other guys around you, you know. It ain't all about you, just not be selfish, you know.
Right.
And I think that's what carried him a long way, you know, because he's always been a guy that threw himself out there and do anything it took to help the team win.
Do you have a moment where you were welcomed to the NFL? Was it a hit? Was it a certain route you ran perfectly? Was it your first touchdown? What was your moment like, my goodness, I'm in the National Football League?
I got hit plenty of times on rookie camp, so that was definitely a wake-up call. But you're going to get hit no matter what. But I'm trying to narrow it down. I think our first game against the Jets when I was a rookie, that was me, Brandon LaFell, and A.J. Green. And just getting in that atmosphere, you know, coming out the tunnel, just felt surreal, you know, that, like, I'm actually in the NFL. You know, I didn't have a crazy stellar game, but I might have had, like, 40 yards, 50 yards. And I had a through route. And I caught it like 2 yards short. It was a low throw. I was hoping it was just right here and I could just dive in there. That'd be my first touchdown, first game, you know. But I got stopped and it ended up being before the second half. So we hurried up and rushed the field goal out there and got the points that way. But I was you know, ready to go crazy once I thought I was going to score. But
all right, so you were in the game three seasons ago when you guys came down here and beat the Titans in the playoff game and the field goal at the last second. Titans fans are still kind of haven't gotten over that yet. What do you remember about that day?
I just remember it was.
But you won.
I just remember that it was a tough game. You know, they were number one in the division in the conference, and we really couldn't move the ball much. You know, they got a stellar defense. You know, Simmons, you seen him out there acting crazy already, but that's how he was acting during us. That we really couldn't move the ball as much, but the plays that we had to make, we made them. You know, we gave ourselves the opportunity to score, and when they had the ball that last drive, I kind of thought that it was a wrap if we didn't make a big play, and you seen the tip pass.
Yeah.
I think it was thrown to Nick, and they tipped it. We picked it, and the very next play, they got in man coverage. It might have been second down or so. They got in man coverage, and all I remember from the day, you probably could pull the clip up, all three of us were wide open in man coverage. You could have picked anybody to throw, and we'd have been – and then at that play four, we just kicked the field goal, and the game was over. And it was just like – that's how fast the game changed.
Amazing. How much do you – I mean, obviously – you came up short in the Super Bowl, and I know that still stings. But how much do you think about that run? Because even here, as much as we talked about, like, how could the Titans lose that game and, you know, all that stuff, watching you guys go on that run was also fun because you guys were a talented football team.
Yes. I think it's just more – it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think you got – every team got great players, great coaches, a great scheme, but I think it's a bonding thing. Like when things get hard, guys rally off each other. They're not just looking at themselves like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. Everybody know we're one within. Like, we're on point with every little detail. Like, it's just about out-executing the play. It ain't about I'm better than you every single play. It's about how can I do my job on that specific play better than you do your job on that play, you know. So it was more so of a family thing. Like, leaving that Super Bowl run, it was kind of more of a family than making a run, you know, because a lot of people didn't think that we were even going to get that far, you know. But we had like an 8-game winning streak all the way through there, you know. And I think it was just based off of these guys being unselfish and doing it for each other.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you found a spot to live here close to the facility. I mean, traffic's a nightmare here, but I'm sure in Cincinnati it was the same, right?
Yeah, at the end of practice, that's where usually the traffic is in Cincy. But no, I kind of got lucky, and I found a little place, a house in Germantown, so it was about 5 minutes. So
it's
perfect for me. So I love the close commute. I don't like to kind of travel far, and it's not far from the stadium, so I got blessed on that.
Can you call some people in Cincinnati and get them to open a Skyline Chili here? Can you work on that for us? Because I don't know how big you were on the chili, but every time I go to Cincinnati.
To be honest, I wasn't a big fan. Okay. I probably ate it once or twice, but I wasn't a big fan. I mean, I ain't saying it was nasty. I just wasn't a big fan of chili.
I feel that. Tyler, thanks so much for doing this. We look forward to talking to you again and having you here. And by the way, also, please tell Joe Burrow the hair. It's not working for him, man.
I got you. You know, he's a different guy.
I know.
But I appreciate y'all.
Thanks, brother. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate it. Tyler Boyd joining us here on the program. We'll come back, wrap things up from Titans training camp. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.